Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
The 2024 Saints, the slogan is now, you are going to drink the Kool-Aid and you are going to like it. Welcome to Saints Happy Hour Podcast. Well, we knew the Saints were going to do something in the second round. Of course, they traded up. The Saints traded up and got Kool-Aid McKintry from Alabama. They traded up from 45 to 41. Thanks, everybody, for joining us. We're doing a live Saints Happy Hour Podcast. See a bunch of people in the chat, Purview of Awesome, Saints Rabbit, Hatchet John, Mike Bagger, Budrich. We're doing donations. If you get, we'll do hit the donations. I'll drink tonight. Kevin maybe needs a drink. Thanks for joining us again. I'm going to start with you, Kevin. Mickey Loomis has a problem. What do you want me to say,
yeah,
man?
He clearly does have a problem. And
trade
right now,
Anonymous.
The only solution to it is for him to no longer be the general manager of the New Orleans Saints. I realize I'm going to be on an island here. I'm going to be the guy that's, you know, I guess raining on everybody's parade. But
Evan's upset because they gave up a couple pole boys to move up five spots.
But you know, when you have a chance to move up and draft a cornerback with a Raz under 8, who is also under 6 feet tall, who also has a foot, who had some minor foot injury, I guess you really got to do it, right, Mickey?
He's got a cool nickname.
He played for Bama.
That's a negative.
Glad to see Horace from the War Master Horace from Warhammer's decided to join us tonight. Thank you, Dave.
Nobody gets your nerd jokes, but you know that's two nights in a row.
Five people will get it, Dave, and that's really all I need. I need something. I got to grasp at something positive. My entire life has just gone down the apathy shitter in the last, I don't know, 5-6 weeks, and this is just the latest goddamn thing on it. Is the general manager, the guy who runs the football team that I try to support, can't run the goddamn team competently. It's captain. I am always looking to trade up. Well, what are you gonna fucking do now, Mickey? You got what, 5 picks left that are worth, I don't know, they're worth the contents of this right now? What are you gonna go get for that, brother? Oh, well, we have assets in 2025. Fuck off, Mickey. Fuck off. You can put the rated R one on this one. I don't know what to tell you. I'm absolutely appalled by this. I am appalled. This guy could have traded back a little bit and gotten more assets that would actually be worth using to trade up again like he normally wants to do. But instead, he traded up. And now we have to sit until round 5. Or what? What's he going to do? Is he going to blow something in 2025 in order to move up again? Let me tell you, he has put all the pressure in the world on this McKinstry kid. All the pressure. More so than Flaga. McKinstry now has to come out and be an immediate starter, an immediate impact player, and not just 1 year, several years.
Well, here's that.
Otherwise, because guess what? If he's not, I'm not going to dog Kool-Aid McKinstry. I'm going to dog Mickey Loomis. I'm going to dog Mickey Loomis until he's in the fucking ground or until his ashes are spread on some rich guy's putting green. Okay?
Kevin.
I am on one today. Now is not the fucking time to try me. And yet, here the Saints are.
I'm drinking the Kool-Aid. Who dat?
Your boy Allen, 28.
I'm glad people are drinking the Kool-Aid. That's great. I'm glad. You know what? I'm fine being on an island here. Well, I'm fine. I've been on an island many times in my life. This will not be the last.
Well, here's the thing. Here's the thing with this. Is now, Andrew, they have Lattimore.
Until they trade him.
Lattimore, Adebo, Taylor, and Kool-Aid. To me, this is either they're trading Lattimore or they're not going to pay Adebo.
I don't think it necessarily has to be either. I saw a ton of people on Twitter being like, buy Lattimore. I mean, Lattimore, I think, would potentially leave if the Saints got good value.
Oh, it's a deception! Matt Ryan!
Lattimore is done. 2025 picks coming.
Saints
Rabbit, thanks, man. Yeah, I've seen a lot of people say buy Lattimore. I think if the Saints get good value for him, they would consider it. But I think they're in a similar position. But like you said, things are uncertain with Lattimore, and Adebo's in a walk year. So ideally, you either keep Lattimore or you re-sign Adebo to an extension. But if you lose both, you know, you have Alante and you need another starter. So I think in McKinstry, they got a guy. So look, giving up fifth and sixth round picks to move up five spots, I'm never going to lose my shit over that. Like, I think Kevin is overreacting, and like a fifth and sixth round pick, who cares? However, to side with Kevin to a degree, Jason OTC, Ralph's favorite nerd, said that the Saints gave up 1,815 points when they gave up 45, 168, and 190 to move up four spots to get the Packers pick at 41, which was worth 1,118 points. So we're talking about a 700-point difference. And look, I don't know that I understand these formulas very well, but if you look at this guy and the way he kind of counts these picks, the Saints way overpaid to move up four spots. However, let me finish before you respond. I think the way the Saints look at it is, look, there's a run at corners, and we saw it happen in real time. There's a run going at corners, and I think in Kool-Aid and McKinstry, they looked at a guy who, yeah, he had a foot fracture, foot issue, but like he ran a sub 4.5 40 at the combine, so he looks like he can move, and he's said like he's going to be good to go for training camp. So there's no concerns there. He is a stud. He is a first round talent. He's a guy that was an All-American first team at Alabama. He's a dude's a blanket. Like, if you watch Alabama's game, you watch his highlights, dude is a freaking blanket. Yeah. His technique is flawless. And so I think the Saints feel like they got a guy at 41 that talent-wise was good enough to be taken in the first round. And so I think they were willing to overpay a little bit to make sure they got him because they felt like he was so much better than everyone else there.
Dave, tale as old as time.
Dave, do we need to make a Kool-Aid t-shirt? I feel like we need to make a Kool-Aid t-shirt. I feel like his joke Raz is a 10.
I feel like we've talked about making a lot of shirts over the last ten years, and we've never made one damn shirt.
We made the Smoke Monday.
The worst part that they traded up for him is that, like, I feel like if they had just stayed where they were and he fell to them and they would have taken him at 45, we'd be seeing a completely different Kevin right now. Yeah, he would be doubling down on the name humor because he's really into that instead of worried about trading up.
Hang on. Let me address one of Juge's points because I fell into this trap too. So the numbers that Jason OTC were using, I don't remember what the website was.
Who is Bud Jason Rich OTC? Had that. Is he from Over the Cap?
Yeah. I don't know. Okay. Maybe it is the Over the Cap. Maybe that is Over the Cap. By the Over the Cap numbers, the Saints got swindled. By the Draft Tech numbers, the value of the picks and what they acquired, it ended up being like a near wash. So I am refraining from the Saints overpaid or the Saints got swindled argument.
I'm saying
I would still be annoyed because the Saints should have traded back. Because again, as I stated before, Mickey, who loves to trade up, he's not going to sit still for 105 picks.
Right.
He's going to want to move back into the third round or into the fourth round. And how do you do that? You need assets.
Yeah.
And what's left from rounds 5 and 6 and 7 are not enough to really get enough. You could move back and get to pick 103 at the absolute highest with just those. And then at that point, you leave the draft with 3 picks. I'm assuming in this calculation in my head, you're using no 2025 assets. However, had Mickey actually, been a fucking smart businessman, he would have traded back, acquired more shit, and then used some of that to move up again. He would have gotten more and then could have spent a little wiser. We could have walked away with, more players and possibly whatever. Kool-Aid McKinstry has to come out here and whip ass. He has to whip ass.
Well, look, Kevin, I'm just going to make a counterpoint, and I'm not.
Go ahead. I'm on Kevin Island.
I know. I'm not totally against you, Kevin. But I guess my counterpoint is like if Loomis and the front office, if they felt like they wanted to get a cornerback, or they felt like this was their guy, I know you don't want to trade up, but sometimes. That's the move. I can't believe I'm defending this, but sometimes that's the move because otherwise you end up like Sean Payton and you're stuck with Bo Nix. And sometimes if you really like a guy and you just got to go get him Kevin, you're not on Kevin Island. I'm offshore a little bit. I'm like in a raft off the shore of Kevin Island.
Here's the thing that
I got a pina colada.
Yeah. I love the Kool-Aid pick. It's going to be jokes. He's going to be good, I think, and we're going to have 4+ years of great jokes. It's fantastic. But
we hope.
Here's the thing here's the thing where I kind of side with Kevin, even in spite of the jokes, is this. Because the Saints didn't have a third round pick or a fourth round pick, if they would have had one or the other, if you would have had a third round pick or a fourth round pick plus all the fifths, you could have traded up and gotten Kool-Aid, and still had flexibility to make one more move. But now they have no flexibility unless Mickey starts playing Monopoly and flipping over the cards and mortgaging the future.
Go get your shot. I'll address
Jason Champagne. Thanks for the donation. With donation message, Saints happy cast making my lord great again.
Oh my gosh, boy Allen, like the white cornerback got taken before Kool-Aid, and then the 2 picks after the Saints were cornerbacks.
What about DJ Tampa?
You need to become a Saints Happy Hour patron. It's best Saints podcast and community in the world. You get every podcast without no commercials, early access to special episodes, and patron-only perks. You get to talk to my dad on Discord, and you get cool swag box delivered to your house. Go to saintshappyhour.com and sign up today. That's the best commercial ever.
Yeah, I think they got intel that there was going to be a run at quarters and that he wasn't going to make it to 45, so they went up and got him. Look, I'm not worried about a 5th and 6th round pick. I don't think any of us should be. I think right now, when you look at after 2 days, if you told me that Fuaga and McKinstry were the guys that the Saints would acquire with 14 and 45, essentially, I would have been thrilled. I think they got 2 really good players. Now, is this going to change their fortunes? I've been outspoken that this is one of the most pessimistic I've ever been going into a season about the Saints in a really long time, just about how they're going to do this year. So, you know, they still have a lot of moves to make and a lot of talent to acquire for me to start feeling better about their fortunes. But, like, this is a good start. These are two needs. The old adage, you can never have enough corners. That's going to be especially true if Lattimore is no longer on this team. So I'm really glad with this trade. I'm really happy with the player. And I'll tell you this about Fuaga, because I didn't get to come on. I was indisposed yesterday and I wasn't able to come on the show. But I texted a bunch of people. And one guy who's an offensive line coach in the NFL, I'll let you guys guess who that might be. He told me that Fuaga was his number one rated tackle in the entire draft.
Okay, good.
So,
you weren't here, Andrew
Underhill. We all calling him a future Pro Bowler. Like, I mean, I think the book on Fuaga is like the dude is legit, and this is very different from Trevor Penning. And I think McKinstry is very different from Alante Taylor. He's not raw. These guys are not raw. These are polished players with good technique that are ready to play right away. And I think the Saints got better. I think when you consider that Atlanta took a quarterback at 8 that isn't even going to play this year unless Kirk Cousins gets injured, it should have terrified us that Atlanta had a top 8 pick. And somehow our draft is way better than theirs, at least for this year.
The one thing that's fun about Kool-Aid McKinstry is he is so, self-aware in a sense of he's like, cornerback is the one position everybody understands. Your grandma, who's never watched a down of football, understands that if you get burned, they crush you. I don't want to be that guy, so I play cornerback the right way. I mean, I'm sure he's gotten burned before, but it's just interesting how self-aware he is that, like, what the cornerback position is. Kevin, I'm going to try to cheer you up. I got Curveball Barbecue Whiskey.
Oh, God.
The hell?
Throw it back. I've drank this is disgusting. I've drank this before.
Yeah, it was a 10, I think, before.
Yeah.
Andrew, you weren't here last night. Like, how much are you loving the fact that the Falcons now have an old, oft-injured quarterback and Kirk Cousins?
Oh, that's a good line. I got to say, I've been texting a number of Falcons fans that I'm friends with and just being like, how do you justify this? Like, how can you? And all of them are like, I hate my life. Not a single one of them is trying to sell it to me. And the joke that I told them, like, that's an incredible reach. Like, Penix at 8. Like, there's a lot of mocks that had him going in the second. Kevin, when you were doing those mocks, when you did those 8,000 mocks, like, what on average, where would you say Penix was landing?
Not in the top 10. I don't ever recall seeing him in the top 20.
Yeah.
He was,
I argue,
maybe. I think at the highest I ever saw him go was late first, and that's on rare. First round.
I feel like I would have made fun of the Falcons.
He was a second round quarterback, and it was an absolute reach.
Yeah, so I feel like I would have made fun of the Falcons for drafting him if they didn't have Kirk Cousins.
I argued with Fletcher Mackle on Twitter for like a solid 45 minutes.
Why?
When he had the Saints taking Penix at 45, and I was like, absolutely freaking flipping not.
That's why there are certain people who can and cannot be trusted with doing mock drafts. That's how that works. Ralph, go read it. They're drinking.
I gotta give the people what they paid for.
Sure.
This is awful.
It really does look like a barbecue sauce bottle. Tastes like a hamburger.
I love that sound.
Ooh. Is it just like whiskey that they just dropped a little liquid smoke in?
It really is, Dave, but that is a horrible idea.
Yeah.
Oh. And it
What's the puke meter?
A 10. Jesus.
Damn, you puke?
10. There we go. All right, so I'm going to read this tweet that I think was Juge.
We'll go with 10 and a half.
That Juge shared with us earlier today.
My mouth tastes like an ashtray.
Oh, God.
Shared it with us. This was from Andy Byrons. Andy Byrons. Quote, I'm hearing Spencer Rattler is very much in play for Atlanta with the 43rd overall pick tonight as the team plans for the post-Penix era. like everybody was firing off shots.
I mean,
at the Falcons, everybody was firing off shots.
They had a
season. You had Mina Kimes taking it, you know, reading them the riot act. Bomani Jones, his former team was going at him. Like, it was beautiful. You had national heads clowning the Falcons.
And I think Diana Russini was getting reports from the Falcons, and she was saying the Falcons were the way they were spinning this was that Kirk Cousins is such a good quarterback that they're never going to have like a top 10 pick for like a few years. So this was their chance to get a good quarterback.
I like the
they could have traded down and probably had it like 16. Yeah.
I like the tweet that a Saints fan did. They said, I didn't realize Atlanta was in Arkansas because they were fucking their cousin. That was one of my favorites.
Chooch.
Wow.
By the way, Oppenheimer in the chat, Kevin, listen up. Somebody read this to Kevin. So those picks Kevin wants have a more than 95% to not make the team. What do you have to say about that, Kevin?
Oh,
yeah.
Ooh, interesting.
Again, I am not mad about trading the fifth and the sixth. I am mad that you now have this giant gap. You now have a giant gap until the fifth round.
Mickey Loomis, he's
basically the man with the golden arm right now. You know what I'm saying?
They already had that gap. I think when you enter this draft with a first round pick and a second round pick and a boatload of fifths and some other stuff, like a huge win after this draft would be to get two starters and a contributor.
Here's the thing, if
McKinstry and Fuaga are both starters, and then they get maybe one more guy that's like a special teamer, maybe plays a little bit as a reserve spot starter, whatever. Like, to me, that would be, given what they came into this draft with, a huge success. Yeah,
but they got to all work out. Like you're putting all your eggs into a very small basket.
What I am saying is, you get more picks by moving back a little, and then you can take some of those and actually draft people with them, and then use one of those other ones along with the fifths and the sixths
to maybe move around.
I'm worried about protecting the 2025 picks, of which we only have six.
Kevin's worried about protection?
Yes. Yes.
Plan B.
Yes.
This is his plan B.
Yeah, Mickey doesn't have a plan B. Mickey's plan B is keep trading up.
Here's the thing, is the Saints, we saw what happened in 2022 when they mortgaged future assets and they gave up a top 10 pick to Philly. And I think Kevin is so filled with depression and rage right now. The articulation, Kevin, and you can tell me if I'm wrong, is those future assets, if the Saints give up a 2025 third or a 2025 fourth, a lot of Saints fans would be like, whatever. But that 2025 third, there's no floor for the 2024 Saints. That 2025 third could be pick 69. You know?
Nice.
You like that? That's my worry. So if they, Kevin, to brighten you up and to make you feel better, if they can just get out of this draft and not give up a top 100 asset for 2025, I'll consider it a draw. Not a win, but just don't trade a first, second, or third for next year.
Kevin, when you said six picks next year, have they lost the 2025 pick already?
All I see is one through six.
They don't have a seven.
They flipped. When they did the Penning trade or the Chauncey Gardner-Johnson trade with Philly, mm-hmm. there was a flip, and like the Saints gave him a seven, and Philly gave him a six this year or something. Like it was okay, like that. Okay. That's who has
find the Eagles here.
Mm. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. My company came over. I think I got to get out of here.
Yeah. So, I mean, we're going to get out of here. I want to thank the patrons. You guys are amazing. We've only been doing this podcast for 30 minutes, and y'all already did $100 in donation. Y'all are amazing. And by the way, guys, we had 4 signups today. Really? Doug, Charlotte, I'm not going to try to butcher the someone with a K, their name.
Give it a shot. Kool-Aid? Give it a shot. Is it Kool-Aid?
No, it's not. It was like Quantico. Like, okay. I don't want to butcher their name.
All right, Quantico.
We had 4 people sign up. It's amazing. You guys support.
Wait, well, who's the fourth?
Yeah, don't leave out the fourth person.
Jonas.
Jonas Hill.
Jonas. Ralph bypassed you, man.
Ralph, the guy that the Falcons drafted today with their first pick in the second round, they're like 34.
The guy, Clemson guy?
Pronounce his name for me. Rook.
I don't know.
What's his last name? Pronounce his last name for me.
What is it? It's like Rokakakus or something?
Secaucus, New Jersey.
Tiger State says Ralph is hooked on alcohol and phonics. Listen, you guys are amazing. We love you guys. The chat, Kevin, is really enjoying your pain. And I feel bad for you because you know why it's so depressing, Kevin? Because last night there was a moment where we got the Rappaport tweet. The Saints were exploring offers. Like I felt like we flew too close to the sun last night, Kevin. Like we were so close to the trade down and that Mickey Loomis had to just slap some sense into us and make us realize it's never going to happen. But I don't know. Like, do you think the Saints are going to make a move? Are they going to pick before 150?
Easy. Come on, man.
Let's see. They got 150, they got 170, and they got 175. So they still have 3 fifth round picks. Yeah. I mean, they're definitely picking before 150. No doubt.
Is there any receivers? Because I feel like they got a corner and that's cool. But before we get out of here, Kevin, they still need a receiver. They still need offensive tackle. They still need an edge. Like they haven't like they built on a strength at corner, but they still have so much to do.
Right. And again, they may there's a possibility they may part ways with Lattimore or Adebo. Or who was the other guy? I can't think. Why can't I think of the other guy's name right now? Alante Taylor. So we'd be back to square one.
I mean, they still got Cooper Beebe, and they still got Isaac, and they still got Franklin available, and they still got
Ben Sinnott went a lot higher than I thought he was going to go.
Peyton, and Dave's boy TJ Tampa, porn star, future porn star. I don't know. I feel bad. Like I feel bad for Kevin just because they just like it was funny before, but now I'm sort of leaning Kevin's way. Where like
making it.
I worry about the future assets. I really do. Like I don't. It concerns me, you know,
I hear you. I just feel like you guys, like, how can you be surprised?
No, I'm not surprised. I mean, it's like, you know.
No,
like,
I'm just saying, like, Kevin should be numb by now. He should be expecting it. This angry at the beginning of the podcast, it's like, you know. I mean, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me.
47 times.
Right. Except it's like 47 times. Yeah.
No, I mean, I got to say, this draft so far, This is where I feel Kevin's rage, in that I want to be excited about the 2024 Saints. They need to do more. But for them to do more and make 2025 get us even more fired up for it and get us really excited, for them to do more of that, they have to mortgage more of the future. And that frustrates me to no end, because I think they still need another lineman, and they need another. I mean, you don't have to give me names, Andrew and Kevin. You don't have to give me names if you don't want to. But
well, they do have to. I mean, look, I it's not like they're going to get starters in the fifth round, but they do have 3 5th round picks.
If I said to both, you give me a position, Andrew, and then Kevin, I want you to do the same. You can give me a name if you want to, of a position or a name where you're like, they gotta get a guy that can contribute at this position. Like Andrew said, you don't necessarily get a starter now because you're in that project or whatever, but they got to get a guy. They're going to get one more guy that's going to contribute potentially in 2024, a position or a name that you would want them to get. Andrew, I'll start with you if you can go.
I think at this point, I would probably not draft another offensive lineman. I mean, they do have $8 million in cap space. So, I mean, look, if they take offensive lineman, fine. But, you know, you can bring back Andrus Peat. You can look at some other veterans. You know, you could probably get a veteran guard for pretty cheap. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, there's some things they can still do in free agency. So let's remember that. And, you know, depending on how the draft goes, and you kind of assess your needs from there, and you go get some veterans. But I would say if we can come from this draft, like, I'd love to get a young receiver, ideally one with size, even if he's a little bit slower, but a good, like, body control catcher, just to kind of compete, you know, with A.T. Perry, and be good to get a fifth-round receiver. And then defensive tackle. I think, you know, a lot of times later in the draft, you can maybe find a guy from a small school that's pretty good. And, you know, again, doesn't need to be a starter, but maybe he's like a Malcolm Roach type, where he's a rotational player for you. And so those are probably the two positions I would say right now that, I mean, you're not going to find a tight end at this stage of the draft. It's going to be hard to find an edge guy that's going to make a difference. I think at this point, you got to rely on the talent you have: Granderson, Foskey, Young, Cam Jordan. So yeah. I would say that those, I would say, I mean, if they were to stick with the 3 5th round picks that they have, and they weren't to move up and they draft all three of those, I would say ideally those positions would be receiver, defensive tackle, and then I would go guard.
People in the chat are arguing over the best Kool-Aid flavor.
Oh, it's got to be a red. It's got to be.
Yeah, it's got to be. Kevin, before you give me a player or a position, what's your go-to Kool-Aid flavor?
Oh, I mean cherry. Just give me the red.
So the Kevin, lemon one was good.
Yeah. Kevin, what's a, if you could say one position or one more player that you really like, that you
there are still good. Options. There are still options out there at tight end. Mm-hmm. There really are. Jatavion Sanders still there. Cade Stover, Theo Johnson, Eric All, and A.J. Barner still available. Mm-hmm. You might have one of those guys drop to 150. I think if Mickey wanted to just trade up a little bit, he could probably grab one of those. But
my concern with tight end is, I just, like, if you look at the Saints roster, I don't know that the Saints are necessarily good at tight. I wouldn't say that they're stacked at tight end, but they have a lot of veterans that have been in the league successfully for a while. Like, they have Taysom, they have Juwan, they have Moreau. Yeah. So, like, a lot of those guys you just named, like, I'm not sure they're getting playing time over those guys.
Right. I don't know if Juge is saying there are free agent guards available, then okay. But I don't know, man. The idea of getting Cooper Beebe is pretty nice. Troy Franklin, the wide receiver from Oregon, is still out there.
The tackle from Yale that you liked is still there, although he would probably take some doom. No, he's like ranked anywhere from 100 to 120. Kieran Amagaji.
He's interesting. My guy, Christian Jones, the tackle from Texas, he's still there.
I mean, I guess another, you know, thing that I would throw out there is running back, because I feel like things are still kind of unsettled with Kamara. You know, he hasn't really been that great for a few years now. I mean, up and down, you know. Mm-hmm. And then Jamal Williams, at least last year, was a total disaster. And we like Kendre Miller, but, like, to me, they probably need another guy in there that's explosive that can kind of shake things up a little bit.
Right. And listen, I've got the guy. If he's there at
150.
No. Oh, I mean, he should be there at 150. If he's there at 199, actually, he may not be there at 199. So they may have to take him at 175 if they hang on. But I really like the running back from New Hampshire, Dylan Laub. Like, I don't know. I look at this and the guy's got rushing and receiving talent. And he's played very well and graded very well for three straight seasons. Like, I get that he's playing for, you know, whatever the hell New Hampshire is, like Division Two, maybe, but I mean,
and you know what I like about him?
Man.
You know what I like about him is he returned two kickoffs and two punts for touchdowns. And one thing that I don't think people are keeping in mind enough, the new kickoff rules is a brand new world. And I just feel like the kickoff return guy is going to be a different. You might need a different kind of return guy, like the guys that we think about of being great returners for the Saints, the Michael Lewis, the Tyrone Hughes. Like, it's that you hit them on the wedge and you go. This one's going to be like maybe a more of a stop and start kind of return. So I just feel like the returners may be a little different. I like that guy for New Hampshire, Deep Cut, because the kickoff return, the kickoff is going to be completely different now. So,
yep.
So anyway,
I mean, guys, look, if the Saints can't be ahead of the curve when their freaking coach helped design the rule, I mean, he should know how to get creative about being successful in that area better than anyone.
You would think. So I feel bad for us, Kevin. Mickey Loomis, he just breaks our heart. He just slaps us in the face every single year. Every single year he does
just
it.
Just get good players. Just get good players, Ralph.
I mean, they got the thing is, Andrew, they have really, the Saints play on, I don't know what you describe it. They play, their margin for error is always smaller the way Mickey Loomis operates. They need these two guys they've picked to hit. They need them to hit. Absolutely. They need Fuaga to start, and they need Kool-Aid. They need us to be making drink the Kool-Aid jokes early and often in 2024. But guys, thanks for joining us.
Before you say goodbye, Ralph, thanks to Tiger Saint for 14 buckaroos.
So who was MVP for our live stream breaking news?
All right, let me thank everyone who donated today and yesterday. So thanks to Mike Bagger, to Budrich, to Nelson 97, to Jay Bordeaux 1, to The Wicker Man, to Jason Champagne, to Tiger Saint, to your boy Allen, and to the MVP with 31.3 buckaroos, who is the one only Saints Rabbit.
Thank you, Saints Rabbit. By the way, I love that all it took was the Saints drafted a giant Samoa, and the optimism. The optimism, Kevin, was back today for Saints Podcast. 1,300 downloads, our best day in like 4 weeks. All it takes, man. All it takes is a couple of picks, and we're right back. They got us right back. They pull us right back in.
Here's Dennis Allen talking to Kool-Aid.
How you doing, man? Hey, let me ask you a question. Are you ready to come be a New Orleans Saint? Hey, listen, I know it's been a long wait for you, but we're excited as hell about getting your work. We just traded up. We're on the clock right now. We're about to turn your name in. You're going to be a New Orleans Saint. All right, let's go to work, man.
DA's so boring.
Yeah, let's do it. I love it. Come on,
wait, guys. Coach better. Do your job. That's what it's about.
Man.
That's what he said.
I can feel, every time DA talks, I want to take a nap, Kevin. So thanks to everybody. We appreciate you.
Mr. Vanilla.
We may try to do some podcasts if the Saints do some crazy stuff tomorrow or tonight. I don't know. We'll see. But they shouldn't have any more picks, so they'll have to do some crazy stuff to get back in the game in round three and round four. But guys, thanks for joining us. Thanks for supporting the show. If you're listening to this and it's a free version, go to Saints Happy Hour, support the show so we can keep doing amazing live stream, breaking news, all the fun stuff, awesome that we do. We do it because of you guys. So for Andrew, for Dave, for Kevin, it's going to be all right, Kevin, I promise.
Kevin.
Kevin has had enough. Until next time, the bar is closed.